Becky and I certainly appreciate the confidence that you have placed in us to be working with you full time, and we look forward to it. We think that we're already part of this congregation since we've been here since April, preaching at least most of the Sundays, and we are looking forward to the time to work full time with you. I was thinking this morning, we certainly do miss the presence of Louise and also of Bob, long-time faithful members of this congregation, but we are grateful for the fact that they were faithful Christians and the great promise that we have for living with God eternally in heaven. If this looks like Greek to you back here, that's what it is. It is Greek, but hopefully we're going to do the sermon in English, not in Greek, this morning. I did tell you some time ago that you wouldn't find a preacher that preaches shorter sermons than I do, so I think that's why that I was hired as your full-time preacher. I didn't pick up on who said that, but okay. We'll leave it at that, all right? You know, for many years, the American dream has been for families to own their own homes. And when costs for repairs and maintenance and remodeling mount up, sometimes that American dream becomes a nightmare. Owning your own home has certainly some tax advantages, and usually it is a good hedge against inflation. But I believe there's another benefit to owning your own home. And it is generally regarded as an intangible, even though in many situations it is easily observable. It is the pride of ownership. It is generally recognized that people who own their own homes take more pride in their property than people who rent their homes. And I believe that the same thing is generally true in the business world. There is another American dream that one owns his own business, his own boss. And there is a bumper sticker that reads, "I have the greatest boss in the world. I'm self-employed." Many people have learned that owning their own business can be very difficult, or it can be very rewarding, or both. People who own their own business usually work harder and longer for themselves than they would work for any employer. You know, there are some people who have entered into a business partnership. In accounting, you learn that there are positives and negatives to business partnerships. While partners share the profits proportionately, they are also personally liable for all the losses and indebtedness of that business. And that is the reason that most businesses incorporate, to protect their personal assets. But once again, you can see that being in a partnership would also generate a pride of ownership. And I believe that this principle is also applicable to the church. We all agree that this is Christ's church. He certainly bought it with his own blood. In Acts chapter 20, verses 27 through 28, "For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood." But I also believe that there must be a sense of personal belonging and ownership of the Lord's church. In a very real sense, the church is also my church and your church. We belong to Christ, and He belongs to us. And we belong to His church, and His church belongs to us. In Romans the 8th chapter, beginning in verse 16, Paul wrote, "The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him." Paul said that what belongs to God also belongs to us. It is our inheritance. We are fellow, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You know, there is a major difference in the attitude of a Christian who views himself merely as a member of the church and one who perceives himself as an heir of God, a partner with the Lord, and a partner with his fellow Christians. And again, the difference is pride of ownership. If you see yourself simply as a member of the Holly Lake Church of Christ, you may or may not participate in the works of the church. But if you see Holly Lake as your church, you will be more inclined to attend regularly and teach Bible classes, visit your partners in Christ who are hospitalized and in nursing homes, sick at home, and so forth. If you see yourself simply as a member of the church, you may see something that needs to be done. And you may say, well, somebody ought to do something about that problem. Meaning they ought to do something about that problem. But if you perceive yourself as a partner with God and a partner with your fellow Christians, you will say, I must do something about that problem. If you see yourself as a spiritual partner in the Lord's church, you'll take care of this meeting place. You will not divide Christ's body. You will treat your brothers and sisters in Christ with love and respect. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 23 and 24, "As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker among you. As for our brethren, they are messengers of the churches, a glory to Christ. Therefore, openly before the churches, show them the proof of your love and our reason for boasting about you." Partners work together in unity. In Luke, the 5th chapter, in verse 10, we are told that Peter, James, and John were partners in the fishing business. And this is a Greek word with which many of you are very familiar. It is the word koinonia. And it is translated as partnership, or fellowship, communion, or sharing. But Jesus told Peter on that occasion, "Do not fear, from now on you will be catching men." They were going to enter into a different kind of partnership. They would be partners with the Lord, with 9 other apostles and with thousands of people whom they would bring to Christ into this spiritual partnership. And this partnership was one of the observable signs of the church at its inception. And one of the major reasons for its phenomenal growth. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, we're told that they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And again, that word, fellowship, is a word that could be translated as partnership. It is clear from Scripture that the church in the first century had a partnership meal every Sunday. And I'm not talking about a potluck meal, even though I enjoy those. Certainly we're talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16. Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? We have just participated in the Lord's Supper. And certainly we need to understand the great significance of that, that it is not just bread that we eat, unleavened bread. It is not just fruit of the vine or grape juice that we drink. It is a partnership, a fellowship in the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. But in Acts chapter 2, the emphasis was not just worshiping together, even though that is a very special time that we have every Lord's Day. In Acts chapter 2, verses 46 and 47, the Holy Spirit tells us that day by day the Christians broke bread from house to house, taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. In other words, they enjoyed being together, whether it was in worship or in pleasure. They just enjoyed the company of their brothers and sisters in Christ, even as many of you do. Because they also included non-Christians in their worship. That's how others were brought to Christ. They certainly also included others who were not members of the church in their fellowship as well. As a result, we read that many people were added to the Lord. And from Acts chapter 2 all the way over into Acts chapter 5, I believe it is, the growth had taken place from 3,000 to 5,000 very quickly. Partners work hard to build up their partnership. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 4, and also verse 6 through 7, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We are in partnership with God, with Christ, and with one another. And this is a spiritual partnership. In order to claim partnership with God and Christ, we must strive to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. We must live holy lives, even as our God is holy. And Paul warns us not to enter into any partnerships that will tempt us to compromise our fellowship with God. Christians can actually dissolve their partnership with Christ and become partners with the devil. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, "Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever?" You know, one of the beautiful things about this partnership is that it is not confined by time nor space. Did you know that you are partners with Abraham, and Moses, and David, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Peter, James, John, Paul, and on the list goes? If you are a partner with Christ, then you are a partner with every child of God who has ever lived or will ever live. Remember the churches in Macedonia in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning in verse 3. "According to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much entreaty for the favor of participation or partnership in the support of the saints. They first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God." So certainly they were partners, even though they were in Macedonia, as they sent their money to help support their brethren in Jerusalem according to the famine. They were partners with people that they may not have even met, may never have known personally, but they participated with them. Even as we participate in those who are in the mission field that we support. Even as we participate in the good works of this church through World Bible School and also the prison ministry, we are partners in that work. We are partners with everyone who is a part of the body of Christ. You might want to turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Even though I will show it on the screen, I know that some of you use a different version. I use the New American Standard Version. And the reason I do that is because the American Standard Version of 1901 was recognized as the best translation of the Greek, but it was hard to read. Then in 1972, I believe it was, they came out with the New American Standard, which was based on the old American Standard of 1901, and then they updated it again in 1995. I think it's probably the most accurate translation that we have of reasonably modern translations. But it reads, "Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers or partners of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. And then He tells us how we can grow spiritually, and we can be assured that in that spiritual growth, we're not going to fall away from God. In verse 5, beginning, "Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you." I hope that this sermon this morning has helped you to feel like that you're a greater part of this congregation and of the Lord's body as a whole. But I know that if you are not a Christian, you don't understand that partnership, and we invite you to become a Christian this morning. We hope that you will be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If there's anyone who needs to respond to the Lord's invitation this morning, won't you come while we stand and sing?